give us a little bit of an overview at our advanced conference that we're hosting here in just a couple of months. So, Paul and Kelly.
Thank you. Yeah, so we have the privilege and honor of hosting Advanced Conference 2020 here in Billings this year. I don't know. I might need a different microphone. But we'll see. We'll see. Yes? Okay, Jody says yes. So I said that's probably pretty reliable. Network, and we provide resources for each other. We do events together. We try and just help each other as we're kingdom building together. And so it's our annual leadership conference. But this is not just for pastors or staff members or just small group leaders or what have you. We want to personally invite all of you to this event, and we really will need your help. This is March 19th and 20th. It's a Thursday night and all day Friday and Friday evening. And I'm going to have Kelly kind of talk about those opportunities real quick.
I think you shared what I was going to share. Oh. That's okay. So I just know when I first heard about the Advanced Conference that I thought immediately, pastors, leaders, that's not for me. And I kind of tuned out years ago when I was first introduced to church. But I just wanted all of you guys to personally hear from us that this conference is for you guys to come be a part of. There's infinite amount of opportunities to serve. And I know you guys will be blessed as you bless the pastors and leaders of churches from all over the state and even South Dakota and Idaho. And just think how cool, like how big of an impact that has when you serve these leaders that have influence in their cities, that influence the people in their cities that have even more influence. Like there's just a lot of room for impact and influence in this. So if that's something you want to be a part of or have questions about, talk to us or the Wagners or the Swallies, and we would be happy to answer any questions or point you in the right direction.
Absolutely. What's that, Jody? It starts the 19th and the 20th. Yep. So well, our guest speaker for Advanced Conference is a guy by the name of Carl Vaders. He's a pastor out of Fountain Valley, California. And his kind of whole thing is he writes about small churches. And his passion is for small churches, and we're a small church, and so this is something that we're really excited to partner with each other for, to learn more about, to help build healthier churches. That's the goal. So again, we would love to talk to you. Any questions, please bring them to us after the service, and we want to get you plugged in right away. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul, Kelly. By the way, Paul and Kelly are the point folks for the Advanced Conference this year. Doing a great job. I want to just thank you guys for your labor of love. So you keep it up, man. I feel like we're tracking. We're doing exactly what we need to be doing, and we're on schedule. I just want to mention just personally one thing for tonight, prayer. You're all invited to that at Vineyard Church at 6 o'clock tonight. We're praying for our city. And who else should be praying for our city but the church? Really? And the emphasis, obviously the focus, is human trafficking and everything that surrounds that. And that's what we're attacking. I was thinking about the scripture this morning. It said that when Peter, James, and John were out and they were preaching the gospel and they were getting beat up and flogged and persecuted for their faith, and there was an attack coming against them and against freedom and against salvation and against the church. And so they came back and they reported everything that was happening to the church. This is in Acts chapter 8. And it says all the believers, it said this. So it said they came and they just talked about what was happening. It says they came together and they started to pray together as a church. And it says, now, Lord, consider their threats. How many people know that there's a threat against the lives of people through the human trafficking? There's people that they're hate and taking advantage and, right? I mean, drugs and alcohol and guns and violence and sex and all of those things against people's will. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak the word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miracles, signs, and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. That's what we're doing tonight. We're going to pray together, and we're going to watch God make a difference in our city. And we're going to watch God take the church, and we're going to go do our job and preach the gospel and the word of God with boldness and watch God do miracles. That's what this is all about. And so I want to just encourage you to come tonight. This is a little extra. But come and let's pray for our city. And let's watch God. And he's already doing stuff. He is. I tell you, he's helping, and things are happening, and that's because we pray. Can I hear an amen to that? So with that being said, we're going to get right into the Word. We're doing sorry about the overhead projector. So here's the interesting thing. How many people know that timing is everything? Yeah, so it arrives tomorrow, I found out. So we got a new projector. It's been ordered. It's on its way. But, oh, man, we were praying for Saturday, and it didn't make it. So it'll be here next week. You guys come just to watch the videos. You know what I'm saying? That'd be fun. We're doing a series on culture of the year. We're going to talk about culture, church culture, and just getting a heart and a passion, what we feel like the Holy Spirit, kind of who he wants us to be. And today we're going to talk about being a conduit of generosity. Everybody say conduit. Everybody knows what that is. It's like a wire. Like we can use a conduit of wire or copper, right? And what it does is it takes from the source and sends to the demand, right? And all it is a conduit to take from the power plant the electricity to the source, the light bulb, the building, the heating, whatever. And that's what we are. It's just like that copper wire, just a conduit. We just take what God gives us and we give it away. It's kind of the idea. So we're a conduit of generosity. We keep giving our best. That's what I want to talk about today. Is this giving our best? I'm just going to get right into just several points this morning. And the first one is that we are a conduit of generosity. Everybody say generosity. I want to read the scripture that's out of 1 Chronicles 29. Obviously, we don't have any notes up on the screen, so you bulletins have places to take notes. I say write down the address, so I'll try to give you the reference of the scripture, and you can go read it later if you want. This is out of 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. And King David took an offering for the temple. It was probably the largest offering ever given in the Bible. In today's dollars, it would be tens of billions of dollars is how big the offering was. And this was his statement. This is what King David said about that offering. He said, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" I can't believe how much money came in for this. Just blown away. And he says this, "Everything comes from you, and we have given only what comes from your hand." I think one of the best things for me is taking a scripture like this and say, it just helps when it comes to giving and generosity and the difference between generosity and stinginess. And sometimes I can get stingy. I get stingy with my French fries. I don't like to share them. I like to eat them. So, but my wife, in her generosity, feeding the grandkids and the kids, I've learned to share my French fries. Right? There's a part of me that wants to hang on. That's why I get large. Large fries. You know what I'm saying? But if you remember this, that those fries actually belong to God. Everything that I have, everything that I own, technically is God's. It belongs to Him. And in His grace and in His mercy and in His love for me, He gives it to me as a blessing. And he says this, "Hey, look, I just want to give you something. I want you to manage it well." Now, I believe Scripture strictly teaches that 10% of that belongs to him. Right? He wants us to give 10% of it back. That's what we call the tithe. That's kind of what we do, you know, during the offering time, as we allow people to give their tithes and offerings. And, you know, there's a principle there that says, look, I own it all. I demand 10% back, but I'm going to give you 90% to use as you see fit. But I want you to be a good steward of it. I want you to be generous with it. Your resources, right? Your talents, your gifting, everything about your life, not just what you own, but who you are and your giftings and your talents and the way that you're crafted and the way that you think, that you would say, God, I want to be generous with who I am and give it away in order to see the kingdom of heaven expand, in order to see the gospel grow, in order to be a blessing to people. You know, something as simple as praying is something you can give away. And so when we come together tonight at 6 o'clock, Vineyard Church in Lockwood, we can give away some prayers that God hears from heaven for the sake of the blessings of people in our city. Amen? So it's just this idea of being a conduit of generosity and remembering that what I have, it's God's. It belongs to Him. And so, sometimes just a prayer, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to manage this, Lord? How can I be a good steward of this? I recently went down to Denver to visit a sibling of mine. That was back in November, and Bernie and I flew into the Denver airport. Right, well, we rented a car. Now, between you and me, that car does not belong to me. And so there's a part of me that says, this is Denver. This is traffic, right? This is busy. I'm not super, super familiar. I have to use the GPS thing, right? I am going to buy all of the insurance I can absolutely buy just in case I wreck the thing. Why? Because I have a responsibility to make sure it's fixed when I give it back, right? So there's a part of me that says, look, it doesn't belong to me, so I'm going to get some insurance to cover the fact that if something does happen, it doesn't come out of my personal pocket. It comes out of the insurance company, and they take care of it because it doesn't belong to me. So I approach driving that car different, right? Well, in a sense, what you have belongs to God, and I want to give it back in pristine condition. So, I want to talk to you about engaging this grace of giving. Mark read the scripture this morning for offering. But I love this. In 2 Corinthians 8:7, it says, but just as you excel in everything. You know, there are certain things we really pride ourselves in there. I mean, there's just things that we really go after. He says, as you excel in faith. You know, I really work at my faith. I work at believing in God and spending time in Scripture and going to church and exercising my faith and believing Him and trusting Him, right? Hey, we're doing good. You know, how are we doing on those things? In speech, practicing how we speak and preaching the gospel and communicating well. And knowledge, boy, oh boy, do we like knowledge. Well, we live in the knowledge era, right? I mean, instantaneous Dr. Google stuff. If you want to know, you just say, hey, Google. Hey, Siri. She just came on. That's so funny. Have you guys ever had that happen? So there's a commercial on the football. The NFL does a commercial and it says, hey, Siri. They do that. They say, hey, Siri, what's the football score? It turns my hey, Siri on. I think they did that on purpose. How many people think? Great advertising technique. See, as you excel in speech and in knowledge, boy, we like to know things, don't we? We want to know what the Bible says. That's why we download all these podcasts. In complete earnestness, there's a genuineness to your lives. Appreciate that. And your love for one another, as we just serve and care for one another and love for one another. But we do really great in that stuff. And then Paul adds this line. He says, see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. Every year of our life, God wants excelling, engaging the grace of giving, engaging everything about our lives, including giving. So how do you excel in that? So I'm going to throw out some ideas. Can we do this? I want to look for opportunities this week to be generous. So this is our assignment. Everybody into assignments? Can I give you some homework? So, I know a pastor friend of mine that puts he actually, this is interesting, his church gives him a budget of $100 a month, extra money in his wallet. He puts $5 bills in his wallet, and he gives it away as he sees opportunity. What if you just put a couple of $20 bills or $10 bills in your wallet, and the Lord prompts you just to give it away? Or if you're really generous, you could do $100 bills. And I'll be in back, and if you... Right? Just an idea. This is just an idea. Let's prompt our thinking. Let's think generosity. Let's think, how can we give stuff away just because we can? Just because we get stirred to do it, right? So maybe it's just putting a little extra change or a little extra money in your pocket on a regular basis, looking for opportunities to give it away. I like this. Let's see how we can outdo each other. Oh, so next time you go out to lunch with somebody, who could be the quickest to reach over to the waitress or waiter and say, bring me the bill? You ever do that? You ever fight over it at the table? Yeah, no, that's mine. I'm going to pay for it. Right? Let's outdo each other. Let's get a little competitive with this. Not in an ungodly way, but just in a fun way. Can we just stir up our heart of generosity? I remember years ago when I first started serving the Lord, we were visiting a church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And it's called Prairie Avenue Christian Center right now. And they had a drum set, and we had this small little church in Great Falls that we were just building a worship team, and we didn't have hardly anything, and we had no drum set. And I looked at it, and I said, oh man, it would be really cool to have a drum set sitting on the stage. Nice trap set. And the pastor, Ted is his name, Pastor Ted looked at me and says, you can have this one. We loaded that thing up. I don't know what we were driving, but we got it in the car, and we brought it home. I know of people in this church that have given away drum sets. I've known people in this church in the past that have given away cars. I know of people that have bought glasses for somebody, icing glasses. I know of people that have opened up their home for somebody to live. Right? What if we just began to practice? What if we gave away a car? Is there somebody in need and you have an extra car and you want to just give it away? What if? Right? So let's just look for opportunities to do that. Maybe it's paying an extra tip. And I have to say this. I was in Denver 2 weeks ago with my brother Keith and my sister Karen, and we were at dinner. We went to this restaurant. It was called Fire and Wine. It was an Italian little restaurant. So we're sitting there, and the bill comes. And my brother Keith decides he's going to pay for this one because I paid for the one the night before. And we're looking at it, and there's no line for a tip. There's just no line for it. And so we get to reading it, and they automatically added the gratuity of 20%. And I think, well, what's the purpose of a tip? And we both of us were a little perturbed. My brother was irate because he was paying the bill. What if we just went and we... You know, I'm a 20%er guy, right? But what if we did 25%? Or what if we did 30%? There's been times in the past where I know somebody that matched what the actual bill was as the tip. So it was a $60 lunch bill. They gave him a $60 tip. Right? What if? Just what if? What if we just... How many people ever had this happen? You're in line getting coffee, and the car in front of you bought you your coffee as you pulled up to the window. Anybody ever have that happen to you? Isn't that great? What if we did that? What if you pulled up to McDonald's? Just make sure it's not a big van behind you. Or if you so desire, make sure it's a big van. Some kids going to camp or something, you know. And you say to the person that's taking your money, you say, I would like to pay for the person's in the back of me their lunch. Right? Just how do we excel in giving? I believe we start to give. You just look for creative, fun ways. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be a ton. Maybe it's volunteering somewhere. You just say, hey, I can do that. I can help. I can help somebody move, or I can prepare a meal, or... You know, I can help my neighbor, or, you know, I can help the local YMCA, or, you know, the MRM or whatever, tumbleweed, you know, just begin to serve. See, because I think this is what happens. When you begin to give, it will get into your heart and it'll affect every area of your life. It just changes you. You know, Pastor Dave spoke last week, right? He talked about generosity. And really the idea is that generosity flows from gratitude. Generosity flows from gratitude. And I think when we're really grateful for what Jesus has done for us, we begin to act like it. When we really begin to see, God, I'm so glad, I'm so thankful, Jesus, that you saved me. God, that I was lost and broken and dying and in the darkness and really headed to hell. And Jesus stepped into my life and he saved me and gave me life and brought me into this beautiful thing called the kingdom of light. And all of us celebrate the goodness and the blessings and the presence and the love of God and the body of Christ and all of the goodness and all of the provision and everything that God does for us. Oh, Jesus, I'm so thankful. God, I'm so glad that you've placed me where I'm at. I'm so glad for the job that you've given me. I'm so glad for the family that you've placed me in. I'm so glad for the spouse that you gave me. Jesus, I just want to respond by being generous. This is what it says, Matthew 6. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he's talking about money specifically in there, but I think when you're just generous and you give treasure and you give your life to something, and it does something in your heart. When you give it for kingdom purposes and when you give it to Jesus, guess what? Your heart is there. So that's my first point this morning, is that we are a conduit of generosity. Point number two, if you're taking notes, this would be the point, you probably want to write this down. It says, giving my best based on what I have. I think it's really understanding that word stewardship. Everybody say stewardship. It's just simply understanding that this is my level of what I own or what I have or what I can give. This is just a reality. The Bible refers to it as one talent, two talent, or five talents. You know, there are certain businesses that are five talent businesses and certain businesses that are one talent businesses. They're just smaller, just have a lower capacity for certain levels of sales or whatever, right? Ability. It's the same with people. It's the same with churches. It's the same with everything. And God doesn't say if you're a one talent person, become a five talent person. He says, no, be faithful with the one talent. Just be a good steward of that. And so I want to be the best at what God has given me, what I'm responsible for, to the level of the talent to which God has given me. Let me ask you this. How many people own an older car? Maybe it's lost its luster. A bumper or two. Right? It's just not as pretty as in the day, and maybe you even bought it used, and so it was never really pretty, but it's not as pretty as it was the day that you owned it, right? How many people know that that car that you own still needs an oil change? It still needs to be tidy, vacuumed out once a year, whether it needs it or not, right? Taking all those French fry little buckets and bags out occasionally, right? It needs to be tidy and cleaned up. How many people know that we have these little wash joints? You know, you can pull your car in and push a button and it washes your car. That old car of yours or pickup or whatever it is still needs to be stewarded well. It doesn't make any difference if it's the brand new thing off of the lot or if you bought a used one from a friend of yours. We have a responsibility to be a good steward. It isn't the amount. It's the quality by which you take care of what you have. Right? I just want to be the best with what I have. Jesus, is this what you've given me? I just want to be the best with this. And it's based off of your heart and your willingness. I'm going to read this story, scripture. Now, let's set this up a little bit. Jesus is hanging out at the temple and he's watching the ushers. He's watching the ushers come down to the front row and he's watching the buckets go by. You know, I think we could do this. I think we could have scouts just stand at every row and watch everybody put what they put in. How much did you give today? Jesus was doing that. He was watching. He was observing. And he was watching me people put money in. It just cracks me up, the way Jesus operates sometimes. How many people know that Jesus is still watching? You just don't see him watching, you know. Listen, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put in and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. And calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "There's a teaching moment. I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." Who did he commend? The one that had lots and lots and lots? Or the one that gave the best of what she had? It's just being the best with what I have. Jesus, I just want to give you the best of what I have. And I know when compared to other people, it's probably not very shiny. But you know what? Jesus looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the amount. It's not what it's about. It's about our heart. Don't wait to give. Don't wait. Give generously with what you do have. Don't say, when I have more money, I'll tithe. Or when I have more money, I'll give to the offering. Or when I have more money, I'll help so-and-so. Or don't say, when I retire, I'll have more time, then I'll volunteer. Because I'll tell you what, if you don't do it now, you won't do it then. If you're not faithful with the little, if you're not faithful with what you have, God can bless you with all kinds of stuff. You won't be faithful with much. It's a principle out of actually Luke chapter 16. You can go read it. But give it now. Be faithful. Give your best now. Volunteering doesn't have to be every day of the week, 6 hours a day. And if you can do 1 hour a month, do 1 hour a month. If you can do 1 hour a year, do 1 hour a year. But do it. Right? Do whatever you have. Give your best. Steward and be faithful to what God has given you. Can I hear amen to that? That's good stuff, wouldn't you think? Okay. Here's a third point. Giving my best based on my ability. Now, think about this. I think I can get hung up. I get hung up on this idea. That somehow I think giving your best is doing it with excellence. Let me explain this. Sometimes I think I've done this, is if we can't do it to a certain expectation or level, we don't do it at all. Or if we can't afford to do it to this level, we just say, I just don't do it. Put it off. And things begin to fall apart. We don't become good stewards. I'm guilty of this very thing. But somehow we connect this idea of giving our very best or being our very best with this idea of being excellent. And we even begin to compare ourselves to maybe the church down the street that has a $5 million budget versus the church here that has a $250,000 budget. And we say, well, because we can't do it to that level, we just won't do it at all. There was a young lady in our church, her name was Diane Leader. Susan's sister. It was Tim's wife. And she was struggling and battling cancer. She passed away almost 10 or 12 years ago now. But we know what chemotherapy does. Diane Leader was at church every Sunday. And she was there early. And she was laying on the couch telling Tim what to do. We had to set up and tear down in those days. We were downtown. We were set up, you know, we were a mobile church. I don't think she missed a Sunday. She gave her best. even though it wasn't the best she could give. You ever wake up some days and not even barely be able to get out of bed? You ever have a day where you just don't got it? You just can't quite muster it. You blew it the night before and you got a hangover today. You just don't quite, you know, it just isn't my best. It just isn't at the par of what it needs to be. I'm limited in my energy level. I just can't quite get it together. Give your best anyway. Because I think if we measure, and I'm not making excuses for laziness, I'm not making excuses for sin, I'm just saying life happens. Sometimes maybe you don't always feel so good, but you go to work anyway. You know, I don't always feel like coming to church. Your pastor, I'm talking about. I'm literally, it's like, oh, dang, but I come. Now, I must say, I'm always glad I do. Listen, I can still give my best, even when I'm at my lowest points in life. I can still give, you know, Jesus is so worthy. He's so worthy. Jesus, this is all I got today. But I'm giving it to you. Why? Because I give my best, even on my lowest day, even on the greatest struggle, even on the... Man, there's been times, I know you don't know this, but where I just didn't study enough during the week. I was lazy. I procrastinated. I remember driving home from Plentywood one year. We didn't get home like till 2 in the morning. A Saturday, it was Sunday morning. So it was Saturday night, we left, we got home like 2 in the morning. I had not prepared my sermon yet. You know, it was like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. There are times that I would maybe come in on a Saturday and I should have been working on this earlier in the week. And I get in the middle of this thing and I'm going, oh my goodness, I should have. Because you get into things sometimes and you're going, oh my, I got to present this tomorrow. And it's like, oh, there's so much more to understand and learn. If only I'd started earlier in the week. And it's like that Saturday night, I pray Saturday nights with a couple of guys here, and we pray for you guys, we pray for Saturday morning, we pray for what God's doing. They pray for me a lot, you know. So, but I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to bomb. Oh my goodness, God, this thing, oh, I just don't know. And then Sunday morning comes, and somehow, some way, Jesus shows up. And it's like, oh. And I can honestly say, this is not an excuse for not being prepared. You hear me? You young people, do your homework. You know, I find myself telling stories sometimes to my kids, and it's like they get this idea that they can do the same thing. No. It's just a learning experience. I'm just trying to tell you something. Sometimes the greatest compliments I have are from the week where I did the lowest work. Because I just simply came and gave Jesus my best. This is all I have to offer. This is all you get, folks. But somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit comes and does a zinger. He just does his thing. And I'm reminded over and over and over again that this honestly really isn't about me. It's all about Jesus. All about his power. All about just offering what we have to offer and letting him do the rest. Can I hear an amen? Is there anybody that can identify with that one? I'm telling you, don't let that be an excuse not to give your best, even when you're at your lowest. I'm going to read this scripture. There's two words that the word love is translated from the Greek. One's agape and the other's phileo. Agape is a God-given love. That's the very love. God's the essence of love. And when Jesus gave, he gave agape love, unconditional. He gave his life for you and I. He went to the cross, took our punishment of sin upon. That's agape love. counts no wrongs, right? It's not prideful, right? It doesn't boast. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't try to seek its own or take revenge or, right? It's none of those things. That's agape love. Phileo love is brotherly. That's where Philadelphia, that's where we get the brother of love, right? That's the city. It really speaks of a friendship, a connection, a brotherhood, a, hey, I love you, man, you're my friend kind of a feel. I would say that the agape love is at a higher level of excellence when it comes to love. Now, brotherhood love's good, but agape love is better. It's best. Amen? So Jesus is speaking to Peter after he's resurrected, and he's reinstating Peter to go do ministry, and he says this. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly agape me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I phileo you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you truly agape me? Again, he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you phileo me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. That's all I got. Jesus is all I got. I can be a good friend. I don't get the love thing. I don't understand what it means to be unconditional. I got too much selfishness in me. I got too much sin in me. I don't get it. I haven't had the experience. I'm not old enough in the Lord. I'm not mature enough. I don't get it. I don't know yet, Lord. But I can give you a phileo. So Jesus said, in his grace, meets us right where we're at. And launches Peter into this thing called the Book of Acts. Launches Peter into being the leader of the church based off of phileo. Hello? Go read the life of Peter. Powerful preacher. Miracles and wonders and the starting of the church and planting of churches. And right? It's like leading people into baptism of the Holy Spirit. Going to the Gentile nations and receiving them and praying for them and baptizing and doing this thing called the start of the church. It's beautiful. Based off of what? Giving his best at the level that he knew how to give. And Jesus in his grace meets us there. It's not like Jesus is saying, hey, you got to be here. No, he's saying, I'm going to meet you right wherever you're at. And whatever you have, I'm just asking you to give me your best. And so that's what we do. God's grace meets us at our point of need and uses us where we're at. And here's the last point. I also believe that God wants us to be challenged in our generosity, challenged in our giving, challenged in our best. I think he's always calling us up. He's always saying there's more. He's always saying you can learn. I would say amen to that. I would say God, he's calling us up. There's more. There's more grace. There's more anointing. There's a higher calling. So we respond wherever we're at. Wherever you're at today, you just say, Jesus, here I am, phileo. I can give you phileo. This is it, Lord. And I'm going to give you my best in that capacity. Also understanding that I want you to help me grow in my grace. God, I want to be a better lover of people. I want to be a better servant. God, I want to be a better preacher. God, I want to be a better studier of your word. But I'll give you what I got. God, I want to give more time, but I'll give you what I got. And the Bible teaches that we can grow and increase in grace. We receive the grace. We walk in grace. God gives us the ability through grace, but we can also grow in grace. And so we're praying, God, would you increase the grace of generosity and giving in our lives? So we meet God where we're at. We get challenged, but we grow in the grace that he gives us. This is the closing scripture out of Philippians 3. It says this. The Apostle Paul says, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. God. God has chosen you and picked you and grabbed you and took hold of you and is embracing you and bringing you in close. Why? Because he has a purpose for your life. He has a calling in your life. And your job is to figure out what that is. But you start where you're at. God, I don't know what it is, Lord, but I can give you this. I don't know exactly know what that looks like, but I can give you this. And I'll give you the best as I know how to give. So I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ God, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's the process. We give him our best where we're at, but we say, you know what? There's more. There's more. I don't know about you, but I want to give more. I want my conduit to increase. Right? I want to be a bigger funnel. I want this church to be a bigger funnel. But we can give what we have today as we move on towards that which Christ Jesus has called us towards. Amen? By his grace, he helps us. Won't you bow your heads? Perhaps you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You're not sure if you'd even go to heaven if you were to die tonight. You've never experienced the forgiveness of God, perhaps. You've never asked him into your life, and you would like to do that this morning. We're going to give you an opportunity right here, right now. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Everybody's head is bowed, eyes are closed. But just simply raise up your hand and say, Lord, I just want to receive your forgiveness. I want to know you. I want to become a born-again Christian. God, I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? It's three. Anybody else? In that same category would be maybe you've given your life to the Lord in the past. You've just bailed on him. You've just kind of done your own thing. But today you want to recommit your life to Christ. If you fit in that category, would you raise your hand? A couple more. Three more. Four. Five. Six. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for responding, guys. Let me tell you what. Jesus meets you right where you're at. And all you have to do is just give him your best today. Just as best you know how. This is all I know to do, Lord. So I'm going to do this. You will be doing very well. So this is what we do. We pray out loud together as a church. For those of you that raised your hand and responded, and I tell you, God is going to do a great miracle in your heart today. He's going to give you everlasting life. He's going to come in. He's going to give you his Holy Spirit. He's going to commune with you. You're going to leave this place different. Well, we're going to pray out loud as a church. But for those of you that raised your hand, this is between you and Jesus. This is just you pray this sincerely and God's going to do a great work. So why don't you just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your agape love. I'm afraid today, however, I might only offer phileo love. But I give it to you. And I want to thank you for dying for me. Being buried and raised on the third day. Thank you for forgiving me. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I receive your Holy Spirit. Teach me to follow you all the days of my life. Help me to say no to the way I've been living. And I choose to give my best today for you. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, let's go ahead and clap unto the Lord for that. That's great. Yeah, you know, the Bible teaches that whenever somebody gives their life to the Lord, the angels in heaven rejoice. Can you imagine what that would be like? So that's why we clap. That's why we hoot and holler. I tell you, we have a water baptism come up. If you've given your life to the Lord, just like these folks did today, they made a commitment to Christ. The next step, Jesus said, be baptized. And so we're going to do that in about a month. I tell you, it is so fun. If you have not been in one of our water baptisms, I'm telling you what, you are in for a treat. Even if you come for no other reason but to watch that spectacle, that's a good reason to come to church. You know what I'm saying? We rejoice, we celebrate, we have fun, and we hug those that get water baptized because Jesus hugs them too. Amen. So if you you can sign up on the app. It's Church Center app. You can sign up for water baptism. You can sign up in the info booth in the back, but we encourage you to do that. If you have made a commitment to Christ, I'm going to invite you to come down and visit with David. He's over here to my left, and he'll talk to you. He'll pray with you. He'll give you a gift. Kind of some next steps, things that will help you in your journey with the Lord. And then if you have any prayer needs, we got the Wagners over here. They'll be happy to pray for you. So, hey, guys, it is so great. I got to tell you, it is so great seeing your faces every Sunday. We love having you here. We're honored that you're here. And we believe God's doing some great things in the lives of people. Amen. And so we want to see him continue to do that. So you guys have a great day. For those of you that want to stay and listen to Pastor Steve preach on how to connect with people better, we want to encourage you to stay. Even if you haven't been here for the last two, you can stay for it and have a free meal. So, hey, it's a good reason. So, guys are dismissed. See you later.